The Lowell Green Podcast is brought to you by Scheel Furniture and Appliances in Pakenham. See Scheels.ca.
Anything you want to talk about, folks, the lines are wide open, and the texts, etc., are wide open for you. I have a couple of questions, though. Number one, in your opinion, is Ottawa's light rail system, the Confederation Line, worth the $2.1 billion that we've poured into it so far? And do we really need the east-west extensions that are now under construction? The Confederation Line opened for business, believe it or not, September 14, 2019, which means we're coming up to 3 years. Can you believe it? That's been in operation almost 3 years. It's by far the largest project of any kind ever undertaken in Ottawa. Almost 6 years to build, slightly more than 12 kilometers long. No question, the Confederation Line has had more than its share of problems. I think we're all very well aware of that. But now that the system has been running pretty well problem-free for, I guess, about the last 2 years, what is your verdict here? Good? Bad? So-so? What do you think overall? And, of course, billions more being spent on extending east and west. Now, I've got to tell you, I don't know the situation very much in the east, but here in the west, there's a couple of real puzzlers. Number one, I don't understand why the western line ends at Moody Drive, rather than extending another, 2.5 kilometers, John, into Kanata. I mean, Kanata is a major community. This is where the bulk of the Queensway, Western Queensway travel originates, in Kanata. But instead of taking it into Kanata, they stop it at Moody Drive, which means that, so you're going to have to get in your car, drive to hope to find a parking spot, I suppose at a huge parking lot at Moody Drive, somewhere Moody Drive and the Queensway, and jump on the train. As opposed to, you know, getting in your car, going to a parking lot and jumping on a bus, which is what we do today. And the other thing that's a bit of a puzzler, is, so you drive along the Queensway and you look over north, and here you see all of the construction work, including that huge, ugly shed, or actually there's two sheds there, that are going to be storage sheds, I guess, for the trains. But it's right, I mean, you can almost reach out, you know, as you're driving along and touch where the train is going. So we've got the Queensway. We've got an excellent bus system on, special bus lanes on the Queensway. The bus is never a problem. I mean, the buses just whip along. Even during rush hour, the buses along the Queensway, certainly from Kanata in, just whip right along. So somehow or other, it's an improvement. Rather than jumping on a bus in Kanata, you drive to Moody Drive and then jump on a train. And this cost us billions of dollars. I'm not so sure. I just wonder at the planning. You may have some thoughts on that. What's your assessment, though, overall? Assessment of the Confederation Line that's been running now for almost 3 years, and the greatly expanded sections set to open heaven only knows when, okay? Is it all worth the money? And perhaps almost as important, is it worth the disruption of traffic? I mean, we've had traffic disruptions in downtown Ottawa for what, John, 5-6 years now?
Oh, easily.
I mean, major disruption.
You know what, longer than that, because I've been out of the Bell Media building now for over 6 years, and I mean, the sinkhole was even previous to that, and that was part of the, you know, digging to that tunnel, right? So, 10 years.
Go ahead.
No, I'll say 10 years.
Well, it only started in 2013, so 2013. So, all right, 6-7 years anyway. But, I mean, tremendous disruption. Businesses had to move and close down, et cetera, et cetera. But I just, You know, I go back. I know that hindsight is perfect sight. I understand that. But, you know, I was, I guess, about the only member of the media that questioned light rail almost from day one. And what really heightened my suspicion was Andy Hayden. Nobody, none of the media, nobody in city council or anyplace else would pay any attention to Andy Hayden, who had done a tremendous, I'm going to tell you, Andy Hayden, God bless him, former regional chair, former mayor of Nepean, et cetera, very, very knowledgeable guy, good guy. I bet you he knew more about transit systems, municipal transit systems, than anybody on city council, and probably more than a lot of people who are building light rail. And he had done a lot of studies, research, and he had come to the conclusion that, in fact, far better, particularly in Ottawa, where we already had a transitway that we had spent a lot of money. By the way, the transitway was built by Andy Hayden. He said, listen, we have a bus system that works very, very well in this city. It needs improvement. It needs modernization. But instead of spending billions of dollars and years of disruption for light rail, let's improve the transit system, which already exists. He said, and I'll never forget this, he said, it makes no sense. We're going to, in some cases, we're going to take the transitway where buses are now running very, very easily, very, very punctually, and we're going to rip them up, disrupt the bus systems for years, and then run rail along the bus system. It doesn't make any sense. He said, yes, we need the tunnel. Traffic in downtown Ottawa is tied up with buses, etc. Made the tunnel, but run buses through. So I'm just wondering if, in retrospect, Andy Hayden was right. Billions and billions of dollars. And let me ask you this. Have any of you used, have you ever used light rail? Have you used the
nope.
Confederation line?
No, sir.
I just wonder if anybody is listening or watching has actually used it and what their assessment is. Excuse me, my old throat's giving out. Mm-hmm. But I just question the whole thing. Like, it really makes you wonder, what is it all about? What's it all about, Alfie? Okay, what's it all about, Jimmy?
Exactly what I started singing. What's it all about?
I mean, but how has it improved public transit? I mean, the way it is now, I mean, you used to be able to get on, what, 95 bus here in Kanata and go right downtown. Zip, 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 you know, no problem. Pas de problème. Now you got to get on that bus, and then you got to get off at Le Breton Flats or whatever the hell it is, Tunney's Pastor, and transfer and then get onto the train. So it sure as heck hasn't helped public transit to this point. Whether when it's the western and eastern sections are completed, whether it will speed things up, I don't know. I doubt it. I just don't understand how it's an improvement to run a train rather than a bus. If in fact we had started from scratch, if we didn't have a system, then probably go trains. And I think Andy Hayden agrees. But we already had a very, very fine functioning system. In fact, Andy said that people were coming here from other communities around the world to examine our bus system, and some places were mimicking. In South America, for example, they were going to bus systems. And if you're concerned about the environment, then run electric buses. They're more expensive, but not nearly as expensive as light rail. So I've just gone through, as I say, hindsight is always the best sight. But in your opinion, is this whole exercise worth the money? Is it worth the energy? Is it worth the time? Is it worth the disruption? In what way is a light rail system better than the bus system? Is it faster? Is it more convenient? Is it safer? Is it more reliable? Have you ridden the light rail system? What's your feeling about the whole thing? If it's really to provide a better transit system, then I'd like somebody to explain this to me. Or is it just more expense to placate the radical environmentalists? Is that what it's all about? Not to improve public transit, but simply supposedly to have a greener system. Is our light rail system worth the money, the disruption, and the effort? John, go through once again how people get in touch with us.
All right. We love your phone calls. We love your texts as well. The number here is 613-413-2217. We're on Facebook. That's facebook.com/TheLowellGreen, facebook.com/BlastTheRadio, facebook.com/MilkmanShow. All your show links, by the way, at blasttheradio.com/LowellGreen. We're on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter as well. So you post your comments wherever you would ordinarily post your comments, and I will pop as many up on the screen as I can. And again, 613-413-2217. Yeah, I never felt Ottawa was a big enough city or had a big enough... We never really had traffic problems. We had a rush hour issue. That's what we needed to solve, was a rush hour issue. Outside of rush hour, to and from, well, pre-pandemic, we never really had traffic issues in this city. You can get to and from very, very easily. So the light rail doesn't make sense to me. I saw those sheds along Moody Drive on the weekend. They're butt ugly. And you know what else I thought of? What's that big red barn that is on Hazeldine Road that has been now protected as a heritage? It's near...
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's your question about
it? Could we not take that apart and perhaps use that as a train station?
Too late now.
Well, I guess so. But I mean, there's no thinking to this. No, and why not out to Canadian Tire Center, whatever the heck it's called these days? I don't know. I mean, we got 25,000 people going to and from a hockey game, and we're not taking the train another couple of kilometers to make that happen.
That's a very good point. I just don't understand why they ended it at Moody. You're right. I mean, they should have at least gone out to Canadian Tire Place.
There has to be a plan at some point to take it out there.
I'd like to know what it is. I have another topic here.
We do have some responses, if you're ready.
Okay, yeah. Well, I have another topic. As you know, the voter turnout was not 44%, as we talked about a couple of days ago. It was only 43%. So here is my question, and I'm very upset at people who don't vote. I just think they're lazy. I think they're damaging democracy.
I think we're playing with fire. Yep.
And a lot of people are mad at me. They come up with all sorts of excuses. So here is my question. At what point can we no longer carry on a voting system? In other words, have people elect our representation? If it drops down to 40%, can we run democracy that way? Because we've gone from about 56% in the last election down to 44. So supposing we drop down to 35%, 30%. Now my question is, if you're not going to vote and you're going to give me all sorts of excuses, what system would you like to govern us? Would you like the Queen or the Queen's representative to appoint legislators, people who make the law? Is that what you would like to do? What if we're going to abandon the voting system, which is the bulwark, the basis of democracy, if we're going to abandon that, as almost 60% of the Canadian public have, what system are we going to use? How are we going to do it? Who's going to do the job of selecting people to govern us? Or are we just going to have some sort of system where nobody governs, where everybody just runs wild? That's the question I keep putting to people. Okay, you're not going to vote. Your neighbor's not going to vote. 60% of people not going to vote. Okay, well, 43%, I guess we can still have democracy. But what happens if it drops down to 25% or 20%? And a lot of people don't seem to understand this. Here's the danger. If you get down to 30 or even 40% of the vote, you're treading on very dangerous ground, because the radicals will always run. Now, there's a very attractive woman running for the PC leadership, okay? Leslyn Lewis. She's going to get some support. She is pro-life. She would, if she was elected, first thing she would do would be to abolish abortion, remove the right of all women for abortion. Now, what do you think the percentage of people in this country are or is? What do you think the percentage is of people who are also pro-life? 20%, 30%, 35%? So supposing only 30% of the voting population turns out to cast ballots, and they all vote to abandon, to abolish abortion. That's the danger. I'm only using abortion as one example. We could have a radical environmentalist. Randy Hillier. Do you not think that a Randy Hillier, you know, anti-vax, anti-mask, all the rest of it, you don't think that 20 or 25 or maybe even 30% of the Canadian population would vote for him if he were the only candidate? So what I'm saying is, at what point can we no longer carry on democracy, and at what point do we risk turning the administration of the nation over to radical, to one cause issues? Leslie Lewis essentially has one cause. She is opposed to abortion. She's a very fine woman, very intelligent woman, a lot of assets, but that is her main platform. She is pro-life. She would abandon abortion, a right. She would immediately abolish the right of abortion. So I suspect that the number of people who support that are probably in the range of, 30%, maybe more in this country. So supposing they're the only ones that turn up, or turn up in enough numbers that she's elected prime minister, that's the danger. Or a Randy Hillier, or a Maxime Bernier, or a Gerald Butts. How would you like to have Gerald Butts running the country? What percentage of the country do you think are staunch environmentalists? 20%, 30%? Okay, so I know I'm beating around the bush here, but the question is, if we are going to abandon, if you're not going to vote, then how do we select our leaders? Or do we go leaderless? What's your answer to that? You people who didn't vote, okay, at what point do we say democracy can't exist? Only 30% of us show up. And if we're not going to vote, how then are we going to select our leaders? I think it's a fair question. John, let's take a moment here to talk about somebody that I always vote for, Shields. If you're in the market for appliances, if you're in the market for a T-bone steak, but mostly appliances, but they started as this little butcher shop in Pakenham back in 1947, same family, and they run a great little butcher shop there now, good, all local. And by local, I mean like really local, okay, local poultry, local pork, local beef. If you really believe in local, you can't beat Shields. And then, of course, when it comes to appliances, they have, it's a small store there. There's a good selection, but they have a huge warehouse. So 95, 99% sure, whatever it is that you want in the way of appliances, all the major models, makes, sizes, colors, shapes, whatever it is, Shields has it, and they have them in stock. No delay. They'll have it in your house installed, 3 or 4 days, a week at the most. Shields.ca. John, what response are we getting here?
All right. By the way, would a one-issue party, a good example of that, not be the Bloc Québécois? Separatism.
Very good point. Yeah, Bloc Québécois. Very true.
Yep. That's how we ended up there. All right, so we've got a couple of questions on the go, one regarding LRT and one regarding where do we go from here if the voter turnout, continues to decline. Coraline says, it seems the LRT wasn't very well thought out. Somebody said there was no park and ride plan for the West train station.
There's got to be a park and ride. My goodness, I hope so.
Where? Where?
I don't know.
I'm not seeing...
If there isn't a park and ride, that's ridiculous. There's got to be a park and ride.
I mean, a bike and ride is probably what they're leaning towards in this town. Anyway, Glenn says, why didn't they extend the route by a kilometer or two so they could have hidden all the sheds? Ugly, ugly, ugly. Is the East End getting the same crap buildings? Here's an email from Lisa, Lowell at blasttheradio.com. Lisa says, Lowell, having buses and LRT, as I see it, is a safety issue. Women fleeing domestic abuse is one example. Then there's those drunkards on Buck a Beer. We don't need assholes behind the wheel. They likely wouldn't kill themselves, but rather someone else on the roads.
Hold on. What's this got to do with the price of cheese? I don't understand. What's she talking about?
I don't know. What? I just read them.
Folks, try and relate to the topic just a little bit, if you would. Go ahead, John.
Okay, to the voting question. Anne says, if we abandon voting, then someone will appoint themselves our leader. Think about that.
Yeah, well, it's worked very well in places like North Korea,
sure
Cuba,
yep.
Russia, essentially. and a few other, Vietnam. Yeah, these countries work really, really well. Just ask the average North Korean, ask the average Cuban how they think things are going there. They just appoint someone to pick the leader. Yeah, works well.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday was the anniversary of D-Day, and that's what that was all about, making sure that we retained the right to go to the polls and vote.
Yep. No question about it.
All right, Michelle on Facebook. I'm not interested in people that can't be bothered to go vote in person, having any say in government that makes decisions that affect my life. Let's go to text, 613-413-2217.
That's all very well. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. You don't care, but you're not answering my question. If the vote continues to decline, at what point can we no longer run democracy? I mean, if only 20% or 30% of the people turn out, is that really democracy? And if everybody takes the attitude, 60% almost of Ontarians didn't bother to vote. Well, supposing 100%, then what do we do then? Because if your neighbor didn't vote on that side, your neighbor didn't vote on that side, he didn't vote across the road, why the hell should you vote? And if you don't vote, then how do we run a democracy? How do we run Canada? You got to, folks, I think it's a fair question here. It's all very well to say, I don't care. You know, if you don't want to vote, you don't vote. Okay, but wait a minute, hold it. There comes a point here where we're placing a country at risk, grave risk. Don't think it won't happen. It's happened in other countries. Go ahead, please.
So we're not getting a lot of direct answers to your questions, but I'll read you what we are getting. Kirk says, our last provincial election's a fiasco when special ballots were sent to wrong addresses, electorate not received in time, even though those who always voted requested them weeks in advance. Vinny says, could rides be made for seniors so that they could actually vote? Well, you could vote in advance. You had mail-in ballot options there, Vinny.
Yeah, but let's address, can you please address the issue here? How low can we allow voter turnout to go before we no longer have democracy? And if that happens, what do we do? What do we do? Go ahead, please, John.
If only 20% of the people care enough to show up, then those are people that should have a say. The other 80% give that up by not showing up. Okay, great. But how do you enforce that? That's the question. Craig says the Conservatives offered rides to those who could not drive themselves. There you go. Problem is I can't afford the steaks to put on the barbecue, says Robert. Regarding Shields.
Nobody wants to deal with the issues here.
I can't see us not voting ever. This would be a disaster for our country, I believe. Free for all, we need to vote. No, a lot more comments coming in regarding the LRT. You want to go to those comments?
Yes, please, yeah.
All right, 613-413.
People, you don't want to address this issue of voter turnout.
It's a problem. It's a huge problem.
Listen, folks, you know, this is how radicals take over. This is how countries lose democracy. Go ahead, please.
If you've got a store in a mall and you're only getting 10% of the traffic through your doors, at what point do you pull the plug on your business? I mean, just to draw a parallel there. I mean, you know, I don't know. We're in a very dangerous situation. All right, text regarding LRT. Hi, Lowell. Our transit system costs us way too much money for the amount we use it. In the future, maybe when we can't afford to drive and pay for gas, it will be used. Then that is what it should be made. As for voting, I mentioned in
that still doesn't address the issue here. We had a transit system. It was called the transit way. The buses that ran very well. It wasn't perfect. Andy Hayden said, let's improve it. And instead of spending billions on a light rail, let's spend millions on improving the transit way. So no one is saying that we don't need transit. Of course, public transit. Of course we do. We had a very good public transit system. Go ahead, John.
Kelly is the first person in with a direct answer to your question. I think anything under 40%. So that's when we need to make a change, I guess.
Okay, that's interesting. So if fewer than 40% of the voting population turn out, then we can't run democracy. So what do we do then, folks? Because we're only 3%. Hey, it's only 43% turned out. So, you know, the next election, there's only 39%. Is it still democracy then? Go ahead, please.
Listen, this municipal election coming up, I don't think we're going to even hit 40%. I'm really scared about what that voter turnout is going to be, considering all that is on the line in this election for this city.
Then I ask those people who don't vote, what system do you want? What do we do? If everybody takes your attitude, you say, I have the right not to vote. Yeah, you do. And so does everybody else. So just supposing that everybody does what you do, What do we do then? Would somebody please respond to that? Go ahead, John.
All right, Lisa says, I'm concerned about voter turnout, but not sure what can be done to encourage more people to vote. I would say if voter turnout plummets to 35%, then the democratic process is at risk. The government could offer a tax discount bribe, she suggests. Why didn't they build the LRT instead of the money they spent on the transit way? Says Bob.
What?
Why didn't they build the LRT instead of the money they spent on the transit way? That's his question.
Oh, yeah. What have you been smoking there? You've been smoking the drapes again there. We have LRT. Go ahead, please.
Over to Twitch. Julie, I agree. Anything under 40%, we don't have a democracy, and I think it comes down to re-educating in civics. There you go.
Let me ask you this, all you people who don't vote, don't think that it matters. How about John and I then have the right to choose the leaders?
Oh, God.
How would you like that, eh?
Oh, God.
Okay. And if not us, how about Randy Hillier?
Well,
how about Gerald Butts? I mean, who's going to appoint the leaders? Go ahead, please. Or we just have anarchy. Let's just have no leaders whatsoever. Anarchy. The kind they've got in Iran where, like, there's a red light but nobody pays any attention. Go ahead.
Comment on Facebook. When nobody votes, we end up like Venezuela. Anne says we need to vet more qualified candidates, and I still hate to go to mandatory voting.
Actually, you know what? The illustration of Venezuela is very good. That there's a lot of parallels. Venezuela, a number of years ago, was one of the most rich countries in the world, certainly the richest country in South America. It has huge deposits of oil and natural gas and was selling around the world. The people were very well off. Venezuela was a very rich country. But fewer and fewer people, just as happening here, began to show up to vote. And so along comes a socialist, a leading socialist, and he promises essentially a chicken in every pot. I remember we were in Venezuela just not long after he was elected, and there were long lineups of people at various stores. Why were they there? They were given free food by the government. The government then nationalized. We all know what happened. People starved. The millions of people had to flee Venezuela. So there is a country almost as rich as Canada. Natural resources, good government, but people didn't turn up to vote, and finally the socialists took over, and God helped them. So, folks, it can happen. Go ahead.
Michelle says, if you and John are the only people that care enough to go vote, then you should be the ones to decide. That's what you all don't seem to get. Glenn says, according to the Ottawa Citizen and an article by John Willing, September 1st, 2017, there simply isn't enough room near the station to build a park and ride facility, according to a report on the Stage 2 transit expansion. Thanks for Googling that. Anne says, I think John Milkey and Lowell Green should be running Canada. Seriously. Oh, God, help us. Lisa says, my parents are very elderly, and Elections Canada sent two people to my parents' house to allow them to vote. Had to make special requests for it, but there you go. I guess the message just isn't getting through to some folks as to all the options. Let's go to text, 613-413-2217. This person says, as for voting, as I mentioned in an earlier text, send people a personal code when mailing out the voting cards, which enables people to securely go online within the time frame and vote at their earliest convenience. That should make it easy and bring up the turnout.
Come on. It couldn't be easier than it is now. As you've just read, I mean, if you have someone disabled, they'll come to your home, for God's sake. It's not, you know what, it's got nothing to do with easy. It's easy. It's just that people don't care. They're too damned lazy. They don't think it matters. Well, she drops below 40%, and we'll see what happens. Go ahead.
Aren't polling stations supposed to be within a certain distance of residential areas anyway? Like,
and you know what, God, can I tell you something else? That if you want to vote, and you want to vote Liberal, you phone the Liberal headquarters that you're riding, and they'll come and pick you up. Same with the Conservatives, same with the NDP. They'll come and pick you up help you to vote if you want, help you into the building, and then take you home again. Don't give me this bullshit about it's too difficult. It's not too difficult. You're just too lazy. That's all. Go ahead, please, John.
All right, we're at about the 30-minute mark, so I'll just read through a couple of the leftovers here quickly.
Sure.
I'll send the rest of to you, of course, as I do, by email. Anne says, I can't believe all the justification everyone in City Council gave for needing the light rail, and it was total bullshit, because Ottawa is a government town. Most of the traffic was 7:30 to 9 a.m. and then 3:30 to 5:30. Most of the day, very light use of public transit for all the money blown.
3:30? How about 2:30? Well, Debbie and I had to go downtown last week, and we're driving back, and it was maybe 2:30, quarter to 3, and it's bumper to bumper. Unbelievable.
My parents are members at Greensmere, and they say they cannot get over. Like, they have to book a week in advance now for a tee-off time. They can't get over. The young people out on the golf course. Oh, mom's beside herself. Hey, Lowell, let's end it on this. This is kind of funny from Brian. He says, we should go to mandatory voting. Let's all vote on that. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you all. At least those people who actually were paying attention to the show and the questions, which includes many of you. Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow.
The Lowell Green Show is seen and heard live around the world at 2 p.m. Eastern. Connect with us online at blasttheradio.com/Lowell Green. Can't join us live? Download the Lowell Green Podcast. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, and more. Ask your smart speaker to play the Lowell Green Podcast. This is a production of blasttheradio.com.